Because this is a walking, talking word of prophecy. Hello? It was by the word of the Lord. Who would have thought that there would be such a person as Isaac sitting at this piano playing these tunes, testifying to the love of God? Huh? I look at him and I get excited. Huh? I look at this little girl right here and I get excited. I see the grace and the mercy of a holy God. I see God in the flesh. Hallelujah. You know, I look at you, dear sister. I see the mercy and the love of God. And I'm encouraged in the Spirit, by the Spirit. Is anything impossible with God? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. We're the people of God. Do you hear me? We're the people of God. The holy God. The triune God. The omnipotent. Omnipresent. Impossibility proving. Moving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many times has the devil tried to kill each and every one of us? How many times has he moved in our lives to bring depression and frustration and futility? Hallelujah. To destroy us. To bring us down into a realm of hopelessness. When it is the hopefulness of God. Is there anything that's impossible with God? Huh? And if we are His people, if we are His people, is there anything that is impossible for us? Shall life, shall death, shall height or breadth, huh? Shall sin or degradation or life in itself separate us? Can it separate us, dear sister? Can it separate us? Hallelujah. It is an inseparable bonding of God to us that makes everything that is impossible possible. Ha! Loose, loose, loose! Come on! We got to get our eyes off of us and our situations. We got to get our eyes off of our indiscretions and our inabilities and get them on the opportunity God. Huh? Hallelujah. Come on. We're the people of God. You are a people of God. I am a people of God. Hallelujah. And we should be able to rejoice. Do you hear me? Rejoice! Rejoice! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Is anything impossible with God, dear sister? No! Absolutely not! Nothing! Is there anything that you can think of? And if you can think of it, repent. Because you're not giving Him the opportunity. Hallelujah. I see around me impossible situations. I see improbable situations. I see hopelessness and despair set in concrete. But I serve a concrete busting God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Nothing is impossible. Huh? All right. So let's sing the chorus and then just make a declaration. Huh? Oh, hear us, all spirits of darkness. Devil, I want you to sit up and take notice. I want you to hear and hearken to my words, devil. You're not going to get them. You're not going to move. You're not going to win. I've read the back of the book, and you're finished.
Amen.
You're finished.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. We're the people of God. Situation, not of their own making, but because someone else made it, some of the ramifications of it is falling upon them. And I said to them, I said, you do not have anything to be ashamed of. You do not have anything to be afraid of, because God in His mercy, God in His love, has moved in midst of your situation, and He has put His stamp of approval upon you. And you can testify to the magnitude of those circumstances that you are in, the overwhelming of it, and the defeat of it. And in the midst of it, you can use it as a means by which to sock the devil right in the eye. Because God moved into your circumstance. He delivered you, maybe not in the way that you thought He was going to deliver you, but He covered you, and He ministered to those that were around about you, that you cared for, that were affected by the circumstances that you find yourself in. I said, it is not your doing. Use it as a weapon against the devil. Hallelujah. Use it as a weapon against the devil. Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. Huh? He's not confessing that he's weak and puny and he has no position or place of authority. He's saying, I can use what the devil intended to bring death. I can use it to bring life. Huh? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because we're the people of God. Not by our selection. Not by our choice. Not by our position or designation. Not by the fact that we are something special. But because He called, we answered. Did you hear it? He called, we answered. You can answer. You can move. You can acquiesce your position, your place, your right of self-preeminence. You can answer. Yes, Lord. Here I am, but with your pride. Huh? And we have each other. We have each other. Huh? It's the devil that comes to turn me against you and you against me, because he knows united we stand. A thousand can do what, dear? Absolutely. One can put a thousand to flight. Huh? Two can do what? They can conquer the kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
Conquer the kingdom. So there has to be a spirit that is working in my life. Hallelujah. You know, I was reminded this morning when I woke up, my mother used to come to me and she says, Bertie, two wrongs never make a right. Huh? No matter how right you may think you are. Hallelujah. That means I can be right and be wrong. Hallelujah. And I can be terribly wrong if I move in the wrong attitude and do not see it from the perspective that He sees it. So we have each other. Hallelujah. We are the people of God. Huh? We can say, I rebuke you, spirit of divorce. I rebuke you, spirit of contention. I rebuke you, spirit of competition. I rebuke you, spirit of whatever it is that works in the arena to exalt one personality above another personality. Jesus Christ says, I am made low. Hallelujah. John said, I decrease that He might increase. Loose, loose, loose. And therein lies our strength, our vitality, and therein lies our victory. You know, I don't want to turn my cheek when I get slapped because the Bible tells me to do it. I want to do it because when I get the other slap, I have broken something. I have broken something. A kingdom just came down. Huh? When I am slandered, hallelujah, hallelujah, I can defend myself and I can get my team of lawyers to work on my behalf and work on my defense. But if I allow Him, huh? If I allow to be made despicable and low, I can what? Commit it unto Him who judges all things righteous. Says when He was reviled against, He did what? He did not come back with a self-defense degree of lawyering. Huh? He could have. He knew the word. Hallelujah. We're the people of God. Call by His name. Come on, one more time. Thank you. Huh? I want you to turn to your neighbor, huh? And encourage them in the Lord. We are people that say, brother, I'm with you. Do you hear me? I'm with you, brother. We are in the body of Christ. I am with you, brother. Do you hear me? I'm with you, brother. Call on me anytime. And I will do the same with you, sister. Glory to God. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, sister. Thank you, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We are of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you, sister.
Thank you.
understanding. It is a love that reaches out to the lost, the dying. It is a love that reaches out to those that wander astray. It is a love that reaches out to a contrary and obstinate child. Father, to move in whatever manner and whatever means is necessary to bring forth the revelation of your position, your place of Father. Hallelujah. Father, the Bible teaches us that we need to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, even in earth as it is in heaven. And so it is, Father, we want to submit ourselves to that endeavor. It is a prime directory. It is a prime goal. It is a destiny that has been appropriated by Jesus Christ in the flesh and left to us in the Spirit to walk out again in the flesh. Father, we pray that you would give us that understanding. Give us that hope. Give us that position and that place of experience. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I have something I want to share with you that the Lord has been dealing with me over the last several weeks. It goes along, I suppose, with what the Lord has spoken to me for this last year. But also there are some insights that I believe the Lord has given me, and I'm speaking those with fear and trepidation. Hallelujah. Because you don't know always how it works out. You don't know how it always is going to turn out. But you have to move in accordance to what the Lord gives you and what the Lord says to you about it. Hallelujah. And so this last week, last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, last couple of months, hallelujah, I have been endeavoring to seek God, not for the sake of the body personally, but for my own position, my own place of safety. Hallelujah. Because I know outside of God there is going to be no safety. Hallelujah. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me about 2010 is that it is going to be a year of change. Some of it's going to be very drastic. Some of it's going to be very, can I say, subliminal? Hallelujah. Slowly coming in on us as not really seeing it. And some of the change that is coming is going to be like a domino effect, he said. That means that you push one domino over, you don't necessarily feel the effects of that domino falling or hitting the next domino, but it eventually gets up to you when you are in the line of dominoes that are falling. And the catastrophe that comes to the one is the same that comes to the front. So it is going to be a year of change. Drastic change. Hallelujah. And it is on the verge of the coming of Jesus Christ, I believe, that He is shaking. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you might want to open them to Revelation, the 12th chapter. You know, I have a responsibility. I finally come to grips with my calling and my election. Or at least, let me say, I'm coming to grips with it. I do not like it. I do not like being in the position or in the place that I am in. I don't like the words that God gives me. But nevertheless, I did not select them. I did not choose them. And I have fought against God for a very long time. Hallelujah. It is not that I am hard-hearted. It is not that I am not affected by the words that God gives me. It's not that I am made perfect by the words that God gives me, or that God gives me the words because I am perfect. It's just the reverse. To whom who is the most needy and the most foolish and probably the most unexplainable as far as the position or the place or the calling and the election that he is put in is the one who is most not eligible for it. Hallelujah. So that the thing that God does, it can be God and not the individuals. Well, thank God. I don't know anybody who wants to be likened unto an ox. I don't know anybody that wants to be likened unto an ox. An ox is a slow, stoddish fellow, isn't he? How many of you would like to have as your emblem an ox? No, nobody really wants to be an ox. But it is the demonstration of God in His position or His place of calling an election. And the most amazing thing about the whole thing is that we that are in the ministry sometimes take pride in the fact that we are ox, but we're not the ox that God wants. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just usually one proud ox, demonstrating or manifesting himself in a group of oxes. But the funny part about it all is they're still ox. They still got the nature of a brute beast, a burden. You know, they use a sharp goad with an ox to determine the direction that he was going to go. That's why when Jesus Christ met Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, he could have just as well said, "Paul, you ox." He could have just as well said, "Paul, you're a stoddish, stubborn ox. Why are you kicking against the pricks?" What do you think he meant? He was likening Paul to a position of a stubborn, rebellious ox who was not able to comprehend the writing that was upon the wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it took that experience for Paul to wake up to the reality of his calling and his election, and that he wasn't what he thought he was. Hallelujah. Hopefully, I am probably getting a glimpse of that revelation. Hopefully, I am getting, personally speaking, I'm getting a glimpse of that revelation. It is the calling and elections of God are given not on the basis of who we are, what we are, but it's given on the basis of what we can become in the midst or the place of where it is that God has found us. My God, hallelujah. God found some of us, not all of us maybe, but some of us were in the gutter when God found us. Face down. Hallelujah. Blowing bubbles in the slime in the water that was in the gutter, and looking at the bubbles and marveling over their beauty. And saying things like, "My, aren't we having a good time? My, aren't we strong? Aren't we predominant? Aren't we in a position or a place of authority?" And all the time, we're down in the gutter, face down, not knowing that our next step is into an abyss that is called hell. Hallelujah. You think because we have accepted the love of Jesus Christ that we have moved beyond the position, the place of hell? Hallelujah. It says that the devil is as a roaring lion. He walking to and fro or traveling around, seeking whom what? He may devour. That means eat up. That means chew on. That means swallow, ingest. That means in a position or a place of servitude. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ has come to proclaim liberty. I found myself in a rather unique situation here not too long ago, but I found myself in a church. The church is crammed, packed with people. They have two services a day. And what they have to offer is rock and roll Christian music. Everybody's dressed in casual clothes. They look like they're coming for a self-help day to clean up the church. That's what they look like. Hallelujah. And in the midst of that and all of that music and all of that things that was going on, and I'm not belittling them, I am amazed because I sense the presence of God. I sensed it, buddy. I sensed the weeping and the grief of God. Do you hear me? I felt it in my soul. Tears just began unexplicitly and unexplainably began to run down my face. Hallelujah. And I began to think, "Oh God, We need the power of Jesus Christ. We need the power of the living Word. We need the power of resurrection. We need these people, some of them, not even saved. Hallelujah! Not even saved! Do you hear me? And I know that they can go to church in the morning and sit down in the afternoon and watch hell on the TV screen. All kinds of perversion and degradation. No God, no place, no conviction. Come on! Where's the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost has come to convict you and I of sin. That's what the Holy Ghost has come to do. His initial position acquaintance is that He has come to convict us of sin. It was the Holy Ghost that told me that I was a sinner. It was the Holy Ghost that told me that I was going to hell when I bowed down at that altar. God, my God, when I bowed down at the altar, I didn't need a man to write out his all of the sins I did. My mind became like a book that was open, and the finger of God began to go down page after page after page. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. Trouble is coming, brethren. Tribulation such as the word. You don't want me to say that. You don't want me to hear that. But I have to say it. Trouble and tribulation is coming. Change this year. Change this year. Drastic, radical change. Things are going to be happening. Hallelujah. That are going to affect the lifestyle. My God, do we understand the fragility of our life? Hallelujah. Do you control the electricity that you have in your home? Do you control the food that you buy in the store? Do you control the gas that comes into the pump that you put into your car? The only control you have of it is a little card you swipe. Hallelujah. Our whole existence is on a fragile string of accountability that is unaccountable. Hallelujah. I travel a lot. And I saw this thing that happened there. You know, it was just the mercy of God. Somebody on that plane on Delta over Detroit was praying. Oh, there was a call in an election on somebody's life in that plane. That's the only reason that thing didn't detonate. Yeah. Do you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell me they didn't train that man how to detonate that bomb. Don't tell me they didn't give him instructions on what to do to have it explode. Somebody was praying. God was looking out after somebody. Holy Ghost was walking up and down the aisles of that plane, brother. Huh? It was God. God alone. Hallelujah. God alone. And what do they want to do? They want to issue more regulations. They want to institute more people when they don't enforce the regulations they have now, and they want to bring in all of this high-tech stuff that is supposed to do this and this and this. It's not going to stop it, do you hear me? It's only Holy Ghost power. You know, I'm supposed to be doing a lot of traveling this next year. Hallelujah. Doors are opening up in Australia. Doors are opening up in the Philippines. Hallelujah. Need to go over into Europe and do some of the business of God. Need to go to Africa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need help, do you hear? We need help from God. We need help from the body of Christ. We need help in individuals who have dedicated to the purpose of expending themselves for the message of God and says, this word, this kingdom word. Hallelujah. You don't know. You might be called to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that when Jesus walked down the road and he came by the boat of the sons of thunder, he said, turn to them, he said, follow me. Yeah. What'd they do? Straightway. Yeah. Huh? You think that his father was of an easygoing disposition? They called him the sons of thunder. That means thunder birthed the sons. Hallelujah. But it says straightway they went up. Hallelujah. And began to follow him. Hallelujah. This is the time. This is a critical year. This is the year of decision. You know, we've been talking about coming down to the water and drinking. We've been talking about the five wise and the five foolish. We've ministered on it over and over and over again. And we're in the time frame of the actuality of that event taking place. Come on. Can you imagine the effect that it had upon the group? You know, I would imagine there were some down there drinking of that water that wanted to go. I imagine there were some down there at that water that were participating with the fact of drinking that water. And because they wanted to be in that place, they wanted to be in that victory, they wanted to be in that place of overcoming. But something in their heart wasn't right. Something in their manner and demeanor was not in line with the purposes and problems of God. Can you imagine two people that are inseparable and God separates them? Huh? Can you imagine the emotional trauma? Can you imagine the emotional mentality and agony that comes from being a friend in a place? Hallelujah. 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 I was in a meeting in Jamaica and I had a vision. And boy, was it a vision. In the vision, I was weeping. And in the dream, I was weeping in my sleep. And when I began to share the vision, I was weeping because I understood the reality of the thing that was being confronted. We are moving into that time frame. We are moving into that year. This is a year of change. This is a year of decision. This is a year that is going to be undoable. Do you hear me? A year that is undoable. Because we do not have the time to redo it. Hallelujah. The wheels have been set into motion. Hallelujah. The clogs is turning. The clock is ticking. And it's an unstoppable ticking. It's an unmovable. And you cannot reverse the effect of it. My God, we need to wake up. Hallelujah. We need to wake up and to the reality of who and what we are. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll start at the first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also, we were singing about it this morning, collectively speaking, we are the children of God, we are the people of God, we are the sons of God. Whether you want to use technon or helios, that make no difference to me, because in the aspect, both of them are issued out of Him and are in life because of that being your son. You got the calling of the Son nature upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, we can kick against the pricks. We can fight against the tribulation. We can fight against the position, the place of constraints that God puts us on, or He sticks us in the fiery furnace. We can complain about it, or we can do like the Hebrew children did and begin to rejoice in the midst of that fire. You know, there are some situations that grieve my heart. Individually, personally, grieve me down to my toenails. And I can't do nothing about them. Huh? I can't change them. They're so set. They're so consecrated for a certain direction, a certain way, that the only thing that I have available to me is God. You need to intervene. But I have to believe Him. If I come to God, I have to believe that He is. And you want to know something? It doesn't come without cost to me. Huh? Hallelujah. The Lord woke me up and He told me, get your house in order. Hallelujah. Now that can entail a lot. And I'm not ignorant of what it could entail. But what I am not going to do is speculate. What God hasn't told me, what I need to do is begin to do what God has put on my plate to do. Put my house in order. And that is the direction that I have begun to move, and I am moving. And I believe in my moving in that direction. Hallelujah. God will begin to move in other things. So you see, I have really been the hindrance. I have really been the thing that has been the obstacle. Huh? Oh, sometimes we just think we're so smart as adults, Isaac. We think because of the age we got and the place we're in, that we have the knowledge. Because of the experience. We take the experience that we have for granted, young man. Hallelujah. And we think because of that experience, that we have the right and the position, the place, to be the authority. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. It's as wrong for an adult not to listen to the Holy Ghost as it is for a child not to listen to their parents. Hallelujah. And sometimes, my young son, hallelujah, the result is the same. You get taken to the woodshed, so do we. Hallelujah. You know, I can throw up my hands and say, oh God, this thing is so unchangeable. Have you ever seen anything that was so unchangeable? Huh? Mind is set. Soul is set. Huh? And it's moving inexplicably, step by step, for destruction. You know, I tried to explain it one day, and I said, you know, it's not that I'm being condemnatory. Is that right? Huh? It's not that I'm trying to condemn you. It's that I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I said, look, do you have a child? And you tell that child, listen, don't run out in the road. Don't run out in the road. No, you're not. And they run out into the road. Nothing happens. But you are concerned because they've run out on the road. And you know, if the habit persists, what's going to happen? One day they could be careless. And if bumper meets flesh, huh? Flesh succumbs to bumper. Huh? Hallelujah, you're concerned. You're concerned. You're concerned. You love them. You don't want to see them as a ornament on somebody's grill. You don't want to see them as an ornament or a spot in the road. There is a concern you have concerning them. And out of that concern, because you know the result of it, hallelujah. Huh? You say things to them. Sometimes you say them wrong. Sometimes you move in a way that you shouldn't move. But the fact of the matter is, in the moving of it, you are concerned. There's something out there that is in front of them. And so you begin to teach them not to, and they run out into the road. And then your voice gets a little more authoritative. I told you not to run into the road. Huh? And sometimes they run out and you grab them and you take them into the house and you just paddle their little behind and say, do not run out into the road. Huh? How many of you can relate? Well, some of you are honest. Hallelujah. You know, I've been in the gospel for 40 years. I've been in the gospel for 40 years. Not only been in the gospel, I've been with the gospel. I have been in many different lands with many different people. People coming to me with their problems. I stood on a porch in a balcony in Lagos, Nigeria, and a woman began to tell me, hallelujah, what she was going to do. And I said to that woman, no, 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 you cannot do that. You must not do that. If you do that, you will find yourself going into hell. Well, she didn't believe me. She didn't believe me. She didn't believe me. 1 year went by, 2 years went by, 3 years went by, and all hell was bounding and all hell was building, and things were going on in her life that was making it inexplicably unbearable. Until finally, today, she's dead. It's 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road. But nevertheless, she had come to the end of the day and she found herself miserable, poor, and blind. Hallelujah. And I'm just talking about one set of circumstances. How many set of circumstances do you think that we have been involved with over the years of time that we have been in ministries and the different lands that we have been in? There was another situation that I told an individual, if he continued to do what he were doing, hell was going to be the recourse. He didn't believe me. Well, he's finding out what hell is. May it burn all of the dross out of him. You know, something may seem a little harsh and cruel to you, but if the flesh perish, but the spirit liveth, then it's worth eternity. I believe in eternity. I don't believe in a heaven. I believe in an eternity, a realm of living and existence with a triune being, a triune God. I believe that there is a progression into God. This time frame that we are living in is nothing more than, as it were, the placenta in that is in the womb of the woman that the child develops, so that when it comes forth at the end of time, we are birthed into the realm of His creation, to be created like Him, and to move like Him, and to be in that position with Him, and to do the things that He wants us to do. You want to get excited about something? Get excited about that. That's what you've been called for. We call it sons of God. Hallelujah. 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 Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, that means crowded about. It doesn't mean you're little, they're a little, they're a little. Compassed about means crowded about, pressed upon. Huh? Hallelujah. Isn't there another scripture somewhere that talks about that crowding about? Anyway, compassed about with a so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, that's us, not them. They've already done what they can do. They're already participated in what it was that they were supposed to do. They gave their all. They gave everything they had to give. Some of them gave wives and husbands and children and possessions and land. Some of them gave suffering for many years in different places. Some of them were crucified. This is what the Bible tells us. And it says that we are to lay aside every weight of the sin which so doth easily beset us, and which let us run with patience. My God, I never thought that I would have the experience of sitting in the midst of a congregation and a vision that came forth in that meeting, in that realm. And it's not with just regards to that congregation, but there was a python stretched from stem to stern all the way down the aisle from the front of the building all the way to the back of the building. Huge things. Children were walking over it. The parents were stepping over it, going on, and it was sleeping. Hallelujah. There was another, right after that, there was a sister who had the word of knowledge given to her in a set of circumstances. She went to some prayer group meeting with four ladies, and in the midst of the prayer group, there was a woman that had a pet python. And she played with that python. She put that python on her bed. She took that python wherever she could take it. And one day the python started acting funny. It stopped eating. And she couldn't get it to eat, no matter what she tempted it with. And it stopped sleeping at the foot of her bed. It started slithering up beside her and stretching itself out on the bed. Huh? And then she wouldn't eat. So she got concerned. So she took it to the vet to find out what was wrong with her pretty little snake. Now this poor little snakey, gotta find out what's wrong with him. He's not eating. And so the vet began to ask her questions. She said, the vet told her, he's measuring you. What they do is they measure what they're going to swallow. They stretch themselves out, and somehow they inexplicably know. And so they stop eating. And they stretch, and they stretch, so that they are big enough to consume. He was getting ready to eat her. So much for biting the hand that feeds you, right? Huh? This is a true story. It happened right after the event with the guards of the congregation and the stretch. Huh? And it's indicative that this is an end-time body of Christ. Come on! Hallelujah! Snake sleep stretching out, determining the capacity that it needs. Huh? Hallelujah! In order to dismantle or swallow the entire work. Destruction. Hallelujah! Huh? He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. That doesn't mean that's us, that's me, that's you. I don't examine you. You examine you. I examine me. Hallelujah. Even if the position of my malady is so blatant and in your face, that does not excuse you or excuse me from doing what I have to do concerning the issue of what it is that God is bringing to me. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He set the pattern. He set the way of walking. He set the position, the place of example. Come on. Do you expect to be in the kingdom of God doing the service of a son on a means other than the means by which he laid down as the pattern? It's almost as though we would throw out the pattern and say it is not applicable to our position, our place of Sunday service, or it is not applicable to our position of Christian history or our Christian future. We would be guilty of the Sin Bible Man. Huh? They used to have a television program called The Sin Man. Well, Christians have a Sin Bible Theology. If it isn't applicable, something that is for this day, we rip it out. We throw it away. We cross it out of our Bible. Or we make light of it in the aspect of some aspect or some position or nature concerning the reality of Jesus Christ. Huh? Jesus Christ says, I did not come to throw away the law. I did not come to dispense with it. I came to fulfill it. And there was a fulfilling in the thing that Jesus Christ did was concerning the law and the Old Testament and the laying down of the principles of the tabernacle. 7 works of grace that have to be worked out in every believer that wants to be a son. If you don't want to be a son, those 7 works are not applicable to you and to you only. You have the right to decide. This is not a coercion. Who was it that was telling me? It was my son Tyson. He watched some sort of documentary about Green Berets. Well, he didn't really have to tell me anything about Green Berets because I had a personal experience with it in the very beginning when I went into the Army. Huh? And he said, how many? 50%? 30%, 20%? Less than 50%. And what? How many on the first day? They eliminated because they don't have the right mindset. They are eliminated because they don't have the right goal. They are eliminated because they don't have their eyes fastened upon a position, a particular destiny. Hallelujah! And they let things in the natural rise up and to distract them. Huh? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And there is a calling, there is an election that you and I have a right to refuse. You know, they came to me when I was first in the Army. And then they said, you want to be a Green Beret? I said, no, thank you. Huh? I said, no, thank you. Huh? You know, they started that when I was going into the service. That was when it was just starting up. Or at least it was coming public at that time. Huh? I said, no, thank you. I certainly hope that wasn't, or I certainly that wasn't indicative of my calling in the election. Huh? I hope I have another chance before the Lord to say, okay, God, hallelujah, I want to be it. I want to be there. I want to be in that position. I want to be in that place. I don't care what it takes. Huh? And you know, you could call their training inhuman. You could. And you're probably right. It could be inhuman, but they are wanting men who are dedicated, who are patriotically fanatic. Huh? Do you hear me? Huh? Good love for the USA. Well, we want patriotic, fanatic people who want God. Want God! Want Him so much that they're willing to do whatever it takes to receive the position, the place, the sacrifice. What is it compared to that which God has prepared to them that believe on His name? What if somebody slaps you, smites you, talks bad about you, kicks you around, knocks you out the door, knocks you down, knocks you out, uses you for a rug? Who cares if in the end, the rug rises up to be shooken out and becomes and transformed into a son of God? Amen. You know, I feel sorry for some people. I do. Because they're wanting not to believe the word, because they really don't want things to change. They don't want their lifestyle to change. They don't want any kind of interruption in their lives and in their jurisdiction of life. They don't want any kind of things entering in that makes other people around them uncomfortable. They're afraid. And it's only because they don't know God. You know, God wouldn't pick something up and put it into our hearts if at the end of the day there wasn't something very rewarding about it. It says that He what? He endured the cross. Huh? Despising what? The shame. So that He would what? Be able to take His position, His place of fellowship at the right hand of God. What if Peter would have sold out for fishing? Huh? What about Peter? How do you know what Peter didn't do in his lifetime other than what he wrote here in 1st and 2nd Peter? The Bible would be absent, 1st and 2nd Peter. What if Jude didn't do what he was supposed to do? Huh? Short verses, but in that and in the Spirit, wealth of information. Huh? What if he hadn't done what he was supposed to do? What if you don't do what you're supposed to do? Who will it affect? Hallelujah. Where will they wind up? What will they do? You're going to be accountable. I am going to be accountable. It's not just witnessing out there on the street. Come on. It's a witnessing and testifying to the reality of God that you got in the laying down of your life. You know, we often talk about him being a bridge over troubled water. Well, it's easy for Jesus Christ to be a bridge over troubled water. How about you and I being a bridge that people can walk on? How many times do you notice the bridge? How many times do you see the bridge? And it's not some ornate, grandiose, beautiful edification that some man contrived in his mind and built. Hallelujah. I often see it sometimes as one of those little wooden bridges that kind of span the cavern, and it's rustic and it looks kind of dilapidated. Well, if that's me, that's a perfect picture of it. But if it provides, if that's all I can do, brother, if that's all I can do, you know, they might have to be careful walking across it. But if they make it to the goal, then I have achieved something, but I don't want to be just that. I want nice, solid planks. I want ropes that are strong. I want to tether to one side and tether to the other side and go at swing in the reeds and in the wind. Hallelujah. It's safe and it's secure, and then it will hold a crowd of people that want to walk across it. Hallelujah. To the other side, to get to the place, to get to the point, to get to the position of life and liberty. You've been called to a life of liberty. You've been called to a life of liberty. God in His mercy looked down upon your situation and moved against every unmovable obstacle, including even the hardness of your heart. in the aspect of your mind moved into your life and He touched you. He gave you life. He gave you liberty. Hallelujah. And He can heal your body. He can heal your mind, and He can make you strong in the things of God. And out of your mouth and out of your life can come a testimony of God's power to do the impossible, because you are an impossible task that God has begun to work on and to bring forth the beauty of His self in you. Hallelujah. Not harsh and hard and critical, not confrontatory, but soft and gentle, loving, reaching out in the mercy of God to people around you, because something in your heart is different. Amen. Something in your heart is different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He can deliver you too.
Yes. Amen.
He can deliver you. Let me tell you something. It's sucking the life out of you. It's sucking the life out of you. And you better do something about it. Better do something about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God throws me a life raft, I got to grab it. He throws me a life raft, I got to grab it. You know, I'm not going to just say, well, maybe that's something that I need to grab a hold of. I'm going to grab it. Because I know I'm drowning. I know I'm going down for the last time. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen a man who knew he was drowning? Huh? Hallelujah. Desperate at anything, grabbing a hold of it. You're not desperate enough. Because you don't see the reality of hell that is around about you, and the death that is rising up to swallow you, your children and your loved ones and the communities and the things around you. You are the hope of the world. You are the hope of the world. You are the hope of the world. You have within inside of you all of what it takes to save the entire world. You do. Because you have all of God. All of Him. All of Him. All of Him. Philip didn't intend to minister to the eunuch. Huh? He was just being obedient to the Holy Ghost. He was just being obedient. The Holy Ghost said, get up. Go south. Huh? And, well, you hear God tell you to go south, you better be sure it's God. He started moving south, and in his moving south, whoosh, the wind of God picked him up. Maybe coiled him around a little bit, I don't know. All of a sudden, boom, set him right down there, and God, the Holy Ghost said, go. He didn't even have time to wonder, what happened? The Holy Ghost said to him, go, join thyself to that carriage. And he went up there and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? The man said, how can I understand unless there's someone? Can I come in there? Right. Oh, yes. Went in there and began to share the gospel. Come to a mud puddle. Oh, my God. Little puddle of water. Huh? What hindereth me from being baptized in this? Do you believe? He said, oh, yes, believe me. Get me down in that water now. Huh? And you know something? You know something? There is a spirit of revival that's going to come to Ethiopia on the basis of what Philip did. Oh, we think we're going in and opening new doors. No, no! Philip opened the door! We're going to go through the door that Philip opened! Oh, God is so marvelous. God is so marvelous. Hallelujah. Change coming, brethren. Change, 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 change. It's a year of change. Whether it's for good or whether it's for evil, it is a year of change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured what? The cross! There is a cross. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Come on, tell me. What did He say about crosses? He says, unless you what? Pick up.
Deny yourself. Pick up your cross.
There you go. Come on. Boy, we had to dig that one out of the data banks, didn't we? Why is it we don't want to hear this type of word? When it is the word of today, it is the word that established this congregation. Huh? It is a word that has perpetrated the gospel around the world, a world of which in many places I have been to and seen the move of God with a validation of His word. You know, one time in India, they wanted to show us up. We didn't know that we had a Catholic priest that we were working with. God decided not to tell us about that until later. They brought a little dumb girl to us. I never spoke. Isn't that right, George? Never spoke a word. Now, we're in the Indian bush. You know what that is, right? Huh? Oh, yes. Sometimes we want to forget about it, but it's still there. Didn't know anything around her except Telugu. And there was nobody in our contingent from America that could speak Telugu. Huh? They brought this little girl, says, okay, we want you to pray. This little girl has a dumb spirit. So we gathered around, George and I and Brother Duciel. We laid hands on that little girl. Began to rebuke that dumb spirit. We began to rebuke the spirit of Catholicism. We began to rebuke the spirit of deception. We were starting to hit a whole lot of other things besides just a dumb spirit. Huh? And things started happening in the spirit. Sparks started flying. Hallelujah. When it was all said and done, Brother Duciel backed away from that little girl. And we were saying, speak, speak, speak. But she had never spoken. Now, I don't know. Telugu is pretty difficult for me. Maybe it wouldn't have been as difficult for her, but nevertheless, difficult. So the Lord spoke to Brother Duciel and said, tell her what to say. So he doesn't speak Telugu, people. Huh? He speaks English. He says, say, praise the Lord. Little girl looked at him and us, we were standing right there, and she said, praise the Lord. Perfect English. And Jesus said, say hallelujah. She said, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Talk about tongues and interpretation. Huh? Hallelujah. Come on. And it was this same word that took us to India. It was the same word. Brother Duciel had the message. This word must be preached in India.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I seen the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know, my mind is funny. Maybe your mind is not as funny as my mind is, but my mind is funny. It's sometimes very practical and very logical. Huh? I'm in there, and little children are being brought to us. And they have rickets. Now I know, and you know, rickets is malnutrition. And we're talking about poverty-stricken people whose diet is not going to change. When I get through praying for them, they're going back into the same hellhole, eating the same food that caused the problem in the beginning. Hallelujah. So I am supposed to pray for a little girl in this environment and believe that God is going to miraculously do something to straighten her legs. Hallelujah. And send her right back into hell again so that her legs can get crooked all over again. Well, then I'm telling you the way my mind works. Maybe your mind don't work that way. And I said to God, God, what am I supposed to do? He says, it's easy, pray. He says, you don't have to do anything else. You just pray. Hallelujah. Lay hands on the girl. Hallelujah. Say, God, in the name of Jesus, I know all the time I am not this environment of victorious faith. I'm sure all of you are different. I'm sure you would have been so strong in God in the faith, just pouring out your ears. Huh? Dripping off the end of your nose or something. I don't know. But I know that God, in the name of Jesus, heal these legs. And you know what happened? Boom! Legs go straight. God healed her in spite of her environment. And you know what? I believe they're still healed. In spite of the environment. Maybe God even touched the rice she was eating when she got it. Why? Because this God has chosen us to be sons of God. This God has chosen us to be overcomers. This God has chosen us to move in His footsteps. What do you want me to do with the visions and the dreams that God gives me? I see a golden door, and I see footsteps leading through the sand. And God says, arise and walk. And I know that my foot won't fit. And I know my balance isn't what it needs to be. And I know my cadence isn't what the steps are. Huh? And I'm on top of that, I'm trying to be ever so careful to do the right thing. And that's even more dangerous. Hallelujah. But what am I supposed to do? Am I not supposed to believe Him? Huh? And I see bones. I see bones. I see bones at the threshold. I see bones in the dirt. And along the way, I see bones. What is my concern? What is my position of caring with regard to those bones? I don't want them added to. Especially mine. But not only mine, but other bones. I have to speak. Not because I'm perfect, but because I believe. I believe destruction is coming. I believe destruction has to come. There are some situations that are so set by people's minds that it's going to take divine intervention. But I believe in the divine intervention. I believe in it. Do you know that when every move of God, He has come in and He has messed up our plans? Uh-huh. Sometimes He had to steal our Social Security and our IRAs and our 401s and He had to let the robber come in and steal them. Sometimes He had to hit our bodies and allow the thing in our bodies to move into a way to where it was life-threatening and the doctors just give up and God steps in a miraculous way to demonstrate the reality of His presence and your calling, your election. Would to God that it wouldn't have to be that way. But it seems that our human position, our human element is in requirement of that type of pressure. I am not preaching to you something. This chapter, I don't have time to go into it. And you probably don't have the strength to sit here and listen to me. But the fact of the matter is, this 12th chapter is written to the end time church. This 12th chapter of Revelation of Hebrews is written to you and I. This 12th chapter of Revelation of Hebrews is written to the church of the end time, to you and I. It's not only that we have been brought down to the water. It is that we are going to start the action of drinking the water. It's not only that we have oil in our lamps, but we need oil in our vessels also. Wasn't that the malady? How are we going to get it? Applying ourselves to the status quo? Are we going to get it by furthering the thing that is driving us further and further and further away from God? Do you understand apostasy? Do you know what apostasy is? It's leaving the truth of God. It's leaving the position, the focus of God. It's leaving that position, that place of service and dedication. It's leaving it and focusing upon something else, whether it's life or goodness, or whether it's home or family, whatever it may be. My God. My God. My God. You know, I am so thankful for ears that hear. I had a call here some while back, and this person was talking to me. They're married, and in this relationship, they have a wonderful relationship with their married partner. And the God was stirring the waters. Stirring the waters. And I said, you know, it is not that you're to love the other one less or more. I said, what it really is you can't love the other person enough unless you love God first. And so God is stirring the waters. He's allowing friction and contention to come in into the midst of your relationship. He's allowing the other not to treat you in a way or manner that is acceptable. Now, they weren't being mean. They weren't being naughty. They just weren't doing what they needed to do. There was a lack of sensitivity. There was a lack of generosity and gentleness. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. And it's not that. And I said, please do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you're not to love the other person. Hallelujah. In a way or in a manner. But what I'm saying, you cannot love the other person in the place of God. You have to love God in order to love the person. Or the love that you have for the person runs off into another vein and it separates you from the position of relationship with God, which is supposed to be the pivotal point on which your relationship builds, moves, turns, and finds and has its being. Because we can't love one another the way that we're supposed to love one another unless we really love God the way that we're supposed to love God. I can't love my wife, huh? The way that I'm supposed to love my wife unless I love God. And you know, sometimes my wife loves the Lord, she loves God, and sometimes she has to move in God that believe that we will get another chance, that we will get this year. And when the things that happen and the place that we need to be in as far as God is concerned, we need to be ready. And we're only going to be ready if we do what God tells us to do. And what the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? They shall renew their strength. They shall do what? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know, I don't really even know if you will see my face very much this year. Many doors are opening and we are very much prayerfully considering. We've been praying about Australia for a very long time. It seems like there is a door that is opening and it's very possible that we may be going in March. If we go in March, that means Philippines. Because Philippines is right there and I don't know that we will get another opportunity. There are things in Europe that God is speaking to us that we need to go and to deal with through many different words and visions. We have Switzerland on the agenda. We have Hungary on the agenda. And I want you to particularly pray for Germany. Germany has been a very difficult place for me personally. I don't know whether it's because of some of my heritage or what it is, or because of some of the spirits that I have encountered there. But nevertheless, I feel the urge, I feel the burden to go to strengthen this word in Germany. So I would pray that you would pray with us, and that as God leads us, God speaks to the body of Christ, and the body of Christ speaks that we all can hear. So I am just letting you know that there are a lot of things on the table, and it seems like the calendar is getting quite full. So God bless you, and know that we really do love you.